All right, from training camp, Joe DeCamera and Jody Mack in for John today, 94 WIP. Eagles practiced for about an hour and a half. They had the shells on, so they were thudding, not tackling to the ground. A little bit of contact, but not the old school variety. Jalen Hurts, Jody, your impression of what you saw from Hurts today?
Hurts was good. Let me make one point on Landon Dickerson before we move on. Just think, a year ago this time, 1 year ago, Landon Dickerson wasn't going to start for the Eagles. He was going to be a reserve rookie, maybe gets a chance to play. 1 year ago today, Andre Dillard was still going to be the starting left tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles. So the left side of the Eagles line was going to be Andre Dillard and Sam Malo.
I believe,
And now it's Mailata and Dickerson, and we hope they stay side by side for the next decade. So we can have the best plans in the world and think we know exactly what we're talking about, how things are going to work out. They can change pretty drastically, quickly.
By the way, I agree with you entirely. There's no way he actually jokes around with Nick Saban as much as he jokes around with Nick Sirianni, right? There's no way, Jody.
I'm of the same belief that you are, that Nick, when I say Nick, that would be Saban, and you can't even say Nick S, because they're both Nick S. He's got to be tired of playing for Nick S's by now. No, Saban more buttoned up than is Sirianni.
Can't fathom it. All right, let's go to the phone. 215-592-9494. Big Jordan Davis will join us sometime this hour. If you want to weigh in on the Phils, the Eagles, certainly please do so. Let's go to Ruben right now in Germantown. Hi, Ruben.
What's up, Joe? Yo, you, oh, my God. Joe, you're killing me, man.
Why?
Yo, you got a fair argument if people say, all right, I'm not sold on Hurts. But to just sit there and you keep saying it, it's like this is your behavior, yo. You just, no matter what anybody tell you about Jalen Hurts, your mind just made up that he just can't do it.
Well, I gotta see him play. I gotta see him play in a game. Listen, if he goes in a game and impresses me and does it over the span of a month or so, then I'll say, "Hey, listen, I was flat out wrong," and you know I can become a believer.
Well, that's obvious. But what I'm saying is, you're grading him off of a 4 games this first year we took over from Wentz, and then 1 season under his belt. So hear me out. This is what I don't understand about our Philadelphia fans. My heart. But when we criticize Philadelphia athletes, y'all criticize athletes in Philadelphia and they give praise to athletes in other cities that have the same type of resume. And I keep bringing up the Josh Allen situation. His first 2 years, he was horrible. And he had Calvin Benjamin. He was horrible. 2 years straight. The first year he was bad, going into his training camp into 2020, nobody said, I don't have no confidence in Josh Allen. All they kept saying was, well, he don't have weapons. He don't have that. I think he can do it. I think if he gets the right pieces. Well, guess what? He stunk it up that year, too. And they still had confidence
Ruben,
in him.
Ruben, let me ask you a question. Hold on. I want to ask you a question. Would you agree that Josh Allen's rise from below average to top 5 quarterback in the sport, and by the way, he made that transition in 1 year,
No, he didn't.
Let's say top 10 the 1 year and then top 5 the second year. Would you agree that's rare?
Say it again. Ask the
it's
question.
Rare. To go from someone who looks like he kind of stinks, and he did look like he kind of stunk in the beginning, to 2 years later, to be a top 5 quarterback in football. Wouldn't you say that's rare?
But he has Stephon Diggs.
We got Jordan
weapons.
Davis coming in here, man. You got give me a famous transition. You got a shot to win tickets. The Rock. What?
Rock from wrestling to actor.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just need a clarification. I mean, he started off as a football player. I don't know where we're going. We're going football to wrestling. We're going rugby. So from wrestling career transition. Not a bad answer.
That's a very good answer.
Yeah, wrestling to actor. I like that answer with The Rock. He's I'm a big fan. Big fan of The Rock.
Yeah, I was a big fan of The Rock as a wrestler. He's a pretty darn good movie star, too. But
seems like a good dude.
He does.
He really does seem like a good dude. The Rock is a multimedia star.
Now, there we got one already.
Man.
One of the day.
Jordan Davis just hit his head right there. Holy smokes.
Yikes.
Dude, I'm sorry to see that happen. Jordan Davis joining us right now. Jordan, I've been trying to tell people, man, that is dangerous right there. It's not good.
Yeah, low ceilings is not good for me. So
holy smokes.
But, hey, it's the biggest hit you took all day.
Hey. Yeah.
You put an hour and a half in out there in the sun, wasn't it? It's hard as getting into our broadcast booth.
I just wish I had my helmet.
Yeah. All right. Even that ridiculous other shelf thing, whatever that, yeah, I don't know.
You should have never taken the Guardian off. Right. That was your first mistake.
Jordan Davis joins us right now. Not the greatest start, but we apologize for our trailer. Jordan, how are you, pal?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Jordan, it's good to see you. Jody Mack right here, Joe to camera. Jordan, how did today go?
Good. You know, we put in the work, in the hot sun, and, you know, just getting a little bit better every day, and I'm glad I have a great group of guys, a great team to do it with. We all push each other, and it made today a lot more easier on this hot day.
Jordan, before you banged your head, and then even after you banged your head, you got a smile on your face. Now, I had the good fortune to meet you down at the Maxwell Awards.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations on that. And after that experience, I came on the air, and this is a whole month before, obviously, the Eagles drafted you. And I said, man, if the Eagles get Jordan Davis, two things. Number one, they're going to get a great player. And number two, they're going to get a player the town's going to love.
Right.
I mean, you got a lot of energy, man. You remind me a lot, honestly, of Brandon Graham with the smile and the outgoing. Where'd that come? Is that just, that's who you are?
Yeah.
Going back to childhood?
Every day is just a blessing. You know, I'm grateful to be here. You know, I'm living my dream. So, you know, no matter what, I'm always have a smile on my face when I show up to work. So, it's just great to be here. It's great to be alive. So, you know, just to enjoy where my feet are. Even on a rainy day, I'm going to still have a smile on my face.
You know, you're putting a lot of smiles on faces of people around here because I don't know if you know, and I think you probably do, you're one of the talks of camp here with your performance so far.
Man, I try.
I want to talk about your dream. So I got to go backwards a little bit. Leading up to the NFL draft, you decide to come out. You go to the combine. You wowed a bunch of people there. That's for damn sure. So you know you're going to be a first-round pick. You talk to the teams you talk to. How high on the list did you think the Eagles were? Was that a team that showed a lot of interest? You go, damn, maybe they're, but I got to drop down. Maybe they'll trade up. How did that whole lead up to the draft thing, the 2 days before and then finding out you were being selected by the Eagles after they traded into a spot to get you, how did that play for you?
Well, honestly, I didn't know the order of the draft. And obviously, you know, everything changes on draft night. So I couldn't really pay attention to that. But all I knew was Eagles were top three. That was one of the three teams that I took my top 30 visits to. And, you know, being in Philadelphia, I had a great feeling. You know, I felt like, you know, they wanted me and I felt wanted. And, you know, I want to be in a place where they want me and they have a use for me. I don't want to be a place where, you know, I'm just another kid by the wayside and they don't really care. So I knew the Eagles were going to take care of me. And I knew that, you know, regardless that I was going to, you know, be somewhere around here. So, you know, it was just nice to be an Eagle. You know, they picked me. My mom was ecstatic. You know, she's an Eagles fan.
Nice.
And, you know, I was just happy, you know, just to be a part of this organization, you know, considering, you know, how many greats they have. Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Jalen Hurts. You know, I played against him in college. I know what type of caliber player he can be. And it's just amazing to be a part of it.
All right, Jordan, Joe noted that you've got a very bubbly personality, always with a smile on your face. How do you get to the nasty when you need to get to the nasty when Sunday rolls around?
Do a job. You know, I have a job to do. And, you know, on the field, it's just a different demeanor. Off the field, it's even my teammates, you know, it's the JD everybody gets. So just to be, you know, you have the job to do. I know what my task is. My task is to choke the person in front of me out and make sure that I get in the backfield and press the pocket and everything. So whatever I got to do to help the team, I'm going to do it. So, you know, to be able to have that role and I'm finding my role in this camp and learning the ropes from everybody. And it's just putting piece by piece, bit by bit.
Jordan Davis with us here, Joe DeCameron, Jody Mack on WIP. Jordan, what aspect of your game would you say you're most working on this camp?
Definitely rolling off. You know, defensive line here, they go. At Georgia, you know, I was reading blocks and, you know, I was that type of player. So to be able to flip that mindset when you've been doing it for 4 years is a little bit of a challenge. But, you know, every day you just work on something, just find one thing. I remember Fletcher was telling me, just find one thing and get better at it today. Don't worry about, you know, if you mess up the technique, we can work on that. But just, it's about the effort. You know, you just have to give 100% effort. And, you know, you find one thing to work on each day. You know, that's whether in football or in life, you know, you find something to get better at.
Now, how many guys have told you, teammates, heard it in the media, whatever else, that, you know, you're being tested in practice every single day. The Eagles have one of the best offensive lines in football. It might actually get easier when the games start to count on Sundays. Who are the guys who put you to the test here in the preseason?
Man, whole offensive line. I know just being, you know, I play between the center and the guards, and, you know, it's elite in there. I can't really say much for the tackles because I'm not there, but to be able to be going against the best, you know, practice is definitely made to be harder than the game. I'm a true firm believer in that since college. I know that they try to make practice harder and put us through adversity so we can get to the game and it'll be a lot easier. But, you know, just to be able to go against competition every day, iron sharpens iron. That's all it is.
So you don't get out there on the tackles too much, obviously, on the field because you're interior. But you and Mulata, when you stand next to each other, who is bigger?
It's like some days it goes my way. Some days it goes Mulata's way. It's just, I guess it depends on, I don't know, what kind of shoes we have on. It's a lot of factors. You know, if I have my hair up, you know, sometimes I tie my hair up. I got a little 3 inches on there. So it doesn't, you can't really tell. But, you know, we're both big. So that's all that really matters.
Speaking of shoes, size, what is that? You got Crocs on right now. That is the biggest Croc I've ever seen in my life.
These are size 15 boats right here. So you put a... You put a propeller on the back, you can go flow on the river down there.
I think somebody could make it from Cuba in one of those things if they actually did the flip thing. They
float.
Could, you know, all the way over to Florida. You and Mulata, both huge human beings. Who's a better singer?
Mulata.
Okay.
He is a good singer. He's good,
he can
man.
Sing. He's really talented.
He's very talented.
Yeah, he's definitely good.
He's very talented. Speaking of centers and sometimes guard, Cam Jurgens, you had that moment the other day where you push him back, becomes a viral video. When that sort of got out there, what were you thinking when you knew this is a moment where people are really seeing what I can do? No offense to Cam, but it was a great moment for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have a job. The job is the bull rush, press the pocket. But, you know, even though that video got out, you don't really see Cam Jurgens, you know, holding his own during practice and giving me great competition. So, you know, everything could be deceiving. You know, that's one rep. Yeah. And I'm bull rushing. It's kind of hard to stop a bull rush. Especially when you're moving backwards as an offensive lineman, that's hard for anybody. So,
so you give that business to the Detroit Lions week one?
Oh yeah.
Let me tell you something, Jordan. And Jordan Davis with us. There was an Eagles defensive tackle you might not know. You probably haven't met him yet. Named Corey Simon about 20 years ago. His first play, and he was the fifth or sixth overall pick in the draft from Florida State.
Top 10. For sure.
His first play, he had a sack. Mm. Dude, you do that out of the gate against Detroit, man, it's going to be all good.
Hey, you got to shoot for it, man. Got to shoot for it.
At Georgia, you were not a three-down player. Your defensive line was good enough that you didn't need to be a three-down player. It says a lot about your teammates. But you were a guy who was subbed in, subbed out, running down and the like. What do you have to do to become a three-down player in the National Football League?
Conditioning and mental toughness. You know, you have to stay locked in. You have to know everything. And, you know, they're getting me prepared for that. And, grateful for it. I'm integrating it all down. So, you know, it's nice to be able to have a role that they pick for me and they choose. So whatever it rolls around, and, you know, we have a preseason game coming up, and, you know, I'll be able to show off what I can do a little bit. And then, you know, when the season rolls around, I hope I can play my role too. So whatever my role is, whatever they want for me, you know, I'm willing to do it to 100%.
Jordan, it's about a month to the first real game, you know, regular season first Detroit. How excited are you and how often do you think about that?
I kind of think about it day by day. You know, I try to get through practice. You know, it's really just, if you think about one day, the days start going by. And then, not saying that, you know, I haven't thought about it. You know, I know it's coming up and everything. It's a real exciting time. I mean, the football season rolling around. You got college football, you got NFL, and it's just a great month to be in August. So, you know, when that time rolls around, I'll be excited and I'll be ready.
All right, and you got your first preseason game on Friday night against the Jets. Be nice to hit someone in another uniform. Let me ask you about that. You're making a play here in practice. You want to be a three-down player. You want to show off. But you know you better not hit Jalen Hurts. You better not lay out the quarterback. He's got the red jersey on, which you know means, you better pull up. How tough is that? To just your natural instinct is kill the quarterback. Can't do it here in practice. How tough is that on you?
Not very tough at all.
Really?
Yeah, you got to stay off the QB. I mean, QB is priority number one. If you hurt the QB, you're
hurting the
team.
And you just flip the switch. Yeah. Friday night against the Jets, you're going to get a shot at Wilson, and he's going to pay for it.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, it's just it's the leader of the team. QB, is okay. You have to stay off it.
Jordan, good luck, man.
I appreciate it.
We're very excited to have you in Philadelphia. This is a town that in recent years has sort of more skewed to offense. But, man, from a lot of years going back, Jody knows this. This is at its root. This is a defensive town.
Hey, defense win championships.
There you go. Spoken like a true DT.
Jordan, good luck to you, man. Jordan Davis getting ready for the season. Jody Cameron, Jody Mack will rock all the calls on the other side right here on 94 WIP. All right, from training camp, Jody Cameron and Jody Mack. Jody in for John, obviously, today, 94 WIP. You can hop aboard the phone line and join us, 215-592-9494. No doubt in my mind, and really, honestly, I've known it back since March when I first met him. Jordan Davis is going to be a big fan favorite, Jody. You can just Did you feel that in person? Because I knew that months ago.
Yes, and that's why I asked the question I did about it's still a nasty game. They may not be showing much nasty here in preseason and working against teammates, but come Sunday, September 11th against the Lions, he gets in there, he's got to be nasty. He surely showed the ability to go from big personality smile on his face to a killer on the defensive line. Be tougher in the NFL, but he has done it before. I just wanted him to say, yeah, no, that's my job. I know my job, and when I need to get nasty, I get nasty.
All right, let's rock a lot of calls here. Obviously, we've been away from the phone lines for a stretch while we were doing the interviews. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Kareem right now in West Philly. How you doing, Kareem?
Hey, pretty good. Yourself?
Oh, all good, my man.
Eagles, they're going to be – they're evolving. This is my belief. I believe that everybody knows they can run the ball, but I believe they're going to adjust according to the opponents they're playing. You know, you show us one thing, but you think you can stop the run. All right, we line it up, then we throw the ball. You want to play the pass, we run the ball. And just keep them off balance. And I just believe that they're going to evolve into something different, something that we haven't seen before.
Joe, do you think it's that simple?
Here's who you put it on, Kareem. Shane Steichen. Do you know enough? Do you have enough insight and information and belief to change Steichen? Because I generally agree with the point you're making. We just throw out down, distance, scoreboard. We got no idea what's going to happen in these games. You can come in with a game plan, and then all of a sudden, 13 minutes in, the game is completely changed, and you have to be able to change on the fly. That's going to be up to Shane Steichen, the play call on this team.
And also hurts, Kareem, because, you know, we all know enough about modern football to know a lot of times when the guys break the huddle, it is not a called run or a called pass. It's based on what the quarterback sees at the line of scrimmage. So
yeah, he does. Jalen didn't do much of that last year.
I don't mean audible, but I mean the RPO variety.
True.
Where
okay.
You're making right. really, you make the decision after the play has begun,
after
which is
snap.
Really. Yep. You know, new in a modern sense in football. Kareem, go ahead, buddy.
And I believe he's smart to make the adjustments. And he knows his strengths. He knows his weaknesses. Right? He knows what he can and cannot do. Okay, y'all want to show me this? This is what I'm going to do.
What do you got on the Phils?
I am not a baseball fan. My sergeant major could tell you that. I go to sleep at the fourth inning and wake up in the seventh. But I've been following them this year, and since they made the change, the chemistry is good. Like, and I kid you not, I mean, nobody want to play him right now. They get healthy. I don't believe nobody want to play him. And that's being objective and not being a crazy baseball fan, but they always line up. They find a way to win. Like, that's that little grit that they didn't have for early part of the season. But they just want to win. They want to prove something. So the young guys stepping up, the older guys, you know, they're doing what they do. And collectively, they just win.
Well, they have lately. Kareem, give me a great answer for a famous transition.
Ooh. Michael Corleone took over for Vito.
Wow. You know, that's a really interesting answer because he goes from non-criminal, good citizen, to Don. I mean, if we're going World of Fiction, Michael Corleone's transition in The First Godfather, Jody, is pretty epic.
In movie sense, that's got to be one of the best ones.
It really is. I mean, almost to the point where it just almost seemed unnatural. Like, his dad gets attacked, and now he becomes a psychopath? And he wasn't a psychopath before that?
I think he was, keeping the psychopath tendencies under wraps. But I believe for them to come out the way that they did, they were always there to begin with.
Jody, so Kareem, our last caller there, touching on the Phillies. You are probably more than anything at your heart a baseball guy. Father, obviously, general manager, you know, for a couple clubs in baseball back in the day. In your opinion, how good is this Phillies team?
Better than you think. If you just made them good for the first time.
I
had more faith. I thought they were a playoff team before the year started. It's nice that JT Realmuto and Nick Castellanos has finally gotten back to playing to the back of their baseball card.
Yeah.
What we expected out of them. That's a huge factor with this team right now. Let me run something by you.
Yes.
Because I got a lot of pushback with this on Sunday when I brought it up with Glenn here on WIP. Phillies make the playoffs. Wild card. Don't catch the Mets. The Mets have kind of distanced
themselves. They're not going to catch the Mets.
I don't think they're catching the Mets. So it's going to be a wild card. Don't know if it's going to be the third wild card or the second wild card where they are right now. Haven't gone past the Padres, who got their tail kicked by the Dodgers while the Phillies were sweeping this weekend. Wherever they finish, first, second, third, but they're in a wild card matchup in the first round. What is your order of the three pitchers you're using?
Well, I'm going Wheeler. I actually don't even consider this much of, like, to me, it's simple.
No, it's not.
It's Wheeler, Nola, and Ranger.
Incorrect.
What is it?
Either Wheeler or Nola. Now, this all start. The conversation's got to start with, are the Phillies fighting for positioning at the end of the season?
Of course.
Or is it the perfect layout where they can get in any order that they want later? Chances are it's not going to happen. So we're having this conversation today, and then, again, much like the conversation we were just having about the Eagles and the offense, and then the game starts and everything changes. So we can have this theoretical conversation here today, but you don't know that it's going to work that way. Here's how I look at it. You start one of your two, quote-unquote, aces, Wheeler or Nolan. And I'll let the last 5 weeks of the season dictate to me. I think Nolan's actually in the conversation, that he could be their game one starter. Then you come back, if you win game one, then you come back with whoever your third starter is. Right now, for me, that'd be Ranger Suarez, but it could be Gibson, it could be Syndergaard, if he pitches back to his Thor days with the Mets. And then you have your third pitcher for the third game. It's breaking up your two hard-born righties. If so, Suarez, you win the first one, Suarez wins the second one, guess who's starting the next round? One of your two aces. You save a Nola or a Wheeler for that first game. If you go your two aces and you lose one of the two, now you're coming back with Ranger Suarez. And I'd rather have a Wheeler or a Nola in a third decisive game. It all depends. There's a whole bunch of things it depends on. Can they set it up the way they want? And number two, got to win the first game. If you lose the first game, then you got to come back with your ace in game number two. But I stay open and flexible, and you should be rooting for Ranger Suarez starting the second game.
So I think it's pretty unconventional from the standpoint that you're basically saying do not determine who starts game two until after game one.
Correct.
So you're going to give the game two pitcher 20 hours notice of whether he's going to pitch.
No, I'm giving the game two and the game three pitcher 48 hours of notice. But
there's a day in between?
Yeah, you don't know that you're going to be that guy. You tell them both.
I don't know,
Jerry. Tell them both be ready to pitch game two.
I think one of the things Rob Thompson has done really good is just create structure and order and not overcomplicate. Honest to me, Jody, that sounds overcomplicated.
No, it's not that complicated. I just explained it to you in 5 minutes.
Well, on a Tuesday night, you play a game. And then that night, the next day, pitcher finds out whether he starts the next day?
Sure. Shame on them if they're not ready.
All right, let's go to the phones. What do you think of Jody's theory there? Does that work, or is it getting a little complicated?
And by the way, you're in the majority. Most people think it's a little out there, and what the hell are you talking about, Jody? And I'm okay with that. Every once in a while, you come up with a great idea, and you say, all right, well, eventually everybody will come around and realize that I'm right. But, I got some responses on the air and on social media as to what the hell are you talking about. Of course you got to pitch your two best pitchers the first two games.
Jody,
not in a three-game series. Yeah. And that's why this is different. We've never had a three-game series before.
Right.
It's a one-game wild card, or it's a five-game series, or a seven. We've never had a three-game series. And specifically with the Phillies, because there is such a drop-off between two and three. Sometimes all three guys are pretty close. All right, you put them in order, boom, it's the same thing. No, there's the top two, and then there's the drop-off. That's why I think a little outside-the-box thinking is necessary.
All right, let's see if people like that theory from the Mac Man. 215-592-9494. Ken in Newtown. What's up, Ken?
Hey, Joe. Big fan of the show. My transition, I want to start with that, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Charlie Sheen being replaced by Ashton Kutcher with 2.5 men. It was like
that
the
was
number
very,
one.
That was a very big deal, man.
Yeah. Also, Jody Mack, much love. Glad to hear him. Also,
Wait. Why do I get big fan, but he gets love? Like that's
it's
a little disproportionate.
Big
fan's nice, but love is, you know, love is kind, love is patient, love is what are all those things they always say at weddings, Jody? What is that from Corinthians? You go to a church and a wedding, and you find out love is like 10 different things. Love is all
encompassing. I'll give you that.
That's right. He just went to good on the Phillies on Sunday, so I don't think you need to go past good.
I'm going to get the hammer now.
You don't need to go to love just yet if you don't want to, Ken. Don't let him talk into it.
He went MC Hammer on me.
Well, I don't know, man. I went Father Joe.
But, Kareem and Ruben made great points, too, by the way. The Godfather, I was like, wow,
that was an interesting answer. I hadn't considered the world of fiction, but we hadn't discounted fiction, and Michael Corleone's got a shot to win. I mean, look, there's a lot of really big answers, but that's got a shot.
I think I'm top three by now, maybe.
Let's see. We've only taken a couple calls so far. All right, what do you got, Ken, on the Eagles, man? Talk to me.
On the Eagles, 11 wins, you know, and you know what? I'm a homer. I'm biased, right? So I don't know. I think he's going to air it out. And I think, you know, with the practices that, you know, ESP says and all that, I think that they're going to do something with long passes that is going to shock us. I don't know why.
Well,
I think in the Lions game, I think he's going to throw like Elway. Like, he's just going to do it. Because he's got the arm, and everyone says he doesn't.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't have the Elway. I mean, to be clear, I mean, when you say throw like Elway, I mean...
Nobody's got Elway's arm.
I mean...
80 yards in the air, no. But what he does have is maybe 50, you know, just over the shoulder.
Look, Elway had moxie, and Jalen Hurts clearly has moxie. The question is he going to be accurate enough, and is he going to read defenses enough to
accuracy is everything, you know? Showing up is the first thing you do at any job, right? He shows up. He's got confidence. By the way, Landon, the best interviews I've heard, by the way, it was awesome. That's why I stayed on hold. Because what great, gigantic gentlemen these guys are.
They are. I mean, it was kind of funny to get back-to-back big dudes, man.
I was like, seriously, back-to-back interviews like that? I was like, I'm going to stay on hold. I was mowing my lawn with my earphones on. I'm like, I'm going back inside.
All right, Ken, we appreciate the call, man. Keep the calls coming. Thanks, pal.
All right, thanks.
So thank you, man. So, Jody, let me give you – this was an interesting article I saw a couple of days ago. This is August 5th, and what are we up to today? August 9th. So this is an article on August 5th from Brandon Lee Galton. And, you know, Hurts' training camp, you're getting different opinions from people on whether he's been disappointing or not. But I read this article, and I thought, man, this – I don't know how many people are aware of just how not great he was down the stretch last year, even when the Eagles were winning. I know. Just listen to the way Brandon Lee Galton rolls this out. He says, from week 8 on last season, only 3 quarterbacks in the NFL had a lower passer rating than Hurts at 79.8 with a minimum of 200 attempts. They were Zach Wilson, Baker Mayfield, and Trevor Lawrence. Among 26 quarterbacks, he ranked 23rd in interception percentage, 23rd in completion percentage, 24th in touchdown passes. Now, obviously, the TD passes are going to be lower than others because he gets a lot of, you know, running touchdowns. But
right. which he should get credit for.
Which
he's
should.
The guy who's taking them in.
Which he should.
It's his same 6 points as him throwing it to somebody.
I agree. But when you hear those other numbers, 23rd in completion percentage, 23rd in interception percentage, and this is the time of the year when people thought he played good. This is why I say no. Still run the ball a lot because that's what the team needs to win.
That's what the team used to win last year. It doesn't mean it can't be changed. And, Jalen Hurts still has to prove something this year. Everybody's got such a strong opinion on him, and there are those who are detractors and those who are fanboys. I like to think I'm neither. I'm somewhere in the middle.
Sure.
Maybe closer to fanboy than detractor, but I'm not a fanboy by any stretch of the imagination. Oh, I'll readily admit, Jalen Hurts could lose his job as the Philadelphia Eagle quarterback this year. It'd be disastrous, but is it an impossibility that he, like Carson Wentz before him, gets pulled at some point because of ineffective play? Oh, yeah, that could happen. But they're going to give him the chance to do that. They're not just going to go, yeah, see those numbers BLG put out, Joe DeCamera not a fan. We better go back to running football. No. Jalen Hurts is going to be given the chance to prove that he's not good enough.
Well, we'll take your calls. I mean, when you hear those numbers, and again, that's week 8 on last year, and that's when he actually, I thought, started playing better. But part of it is because they just had him hand the ball off a lot. What's your reaction to that? 215-592-9494 to the Sledgehammer, Mark in Collegeville. Hi, Sledge.
Yo, what's up, Joe? How you doing today, pal?
Sledge, you all good, bud?
What's up, Jody Mac?
What's up, Sledge?
Same old. So, if the Phillies are playing this good now and we just got Segura back, can you imagine how much better we're going to be when Harper comes back? That's going to be insane.
Could be awesome. I mean, it doesn't always work out that way, but if it does, it would be beautiful, and there's a chance because Bryce Harper is one of the top players in the National League.
I mean,
I'm just saying, when I say it doesn't always work out that way, just consider and I'm not ripping Bryce, they've played their best baseball this season without him, which is one of those go figures. Like, how does it make any sense? It doesn't. So
yeah,
it doesn't
exactly
mean that just because he comes back that they will then soar even more. But, man, it is getting really interesting knowing that if he's back in 3 or 4 weeks, they could become great. They really could.
Now, with that being said, is there a chance, even if it's a slight chance, that we could even catch the Mets and take the division?
Very slight.
Very slight.
I mean, like really very, very slight.
Yeah, but
call it 2%. Dude, they're like 9 or 10 up in you know, August 8th here. I mean, that's hard.
And, oh, by the way, did you see what DeGrom and Scherzer did this weekend?
Well, I knew they were
both dominant. DeGrom retired the first 18. He had a perfect game going in, or 15, going into two outs in the sixth.
So, and that was his second start?
Second start, yeah.
Holy smokes.
And over 12 strikeouts in the sixth inning. And he gave up a walk and then a home run. They pulled him after that, but he retired. He struck out 12 of the 17 outs that he got.
He's something. Sledge, give me a great answer here, man. You got a shot to win tickets, a famous transition.
Well, that's what I was leading into, because this team has been like night and day since Rob Thompson took over. So I'm going with the transition of Joe Girardi to Rob Thompson.
I like that, man. That's a good answer right there. It really is. Let's go to Vince in Williamstown. Hi, Vince.
What's going on, guys? Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
Guys, Friday, Phil's Mets and preseason home opener.
Well, more juice if the players are actually playing. We really don't know yet. I noticed Jody, I don't know if this was intentional or not, Jody asked a leading question to Jordan Davis about playing in that game. He didn't really confirm or deny.
No, he didn't.
His non-denial was interesting, but it doesn't mean that he's definitely playing. It doesn't mean that any of the guys are definitely playing.
Yeah, he's a rookie, though. He's going to play.
Do you think he'll definitely play?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For a series minimum, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a rookie. Rookies have to play.
Yeah, it would be disgraceful if they did not have him play at all. Yeah. Vince, go ahead, man.
Two callers ago said gigantic gentleman. I think that's the best way to describe both of those guys, potential cornerstones of our team for years to come on the line.
Yep.
It's true.
I'm excited for Friday. I want to see Jordan smack some people, Landon hopefully get some time, hopefully he stays healthy. Should be a great year. It's nice to see some linemen get some attention. Everything's been skill position for the last few months.
Yeah, no, and listen, I mean, I really do believe the O-line specifically was the big, other than the schedule, was the biggest reason why they made the playoffs last year. They you know, they're very strong. The Eagles need more from the D-line this year, and obviously Hassan Reddick as an edge rusher will help. But those other guys, I mean, Brandon Graham obviously wasn't his fault last year. He got injured. But the other guys, I don't believe much in Barnett, but I want to see Josh Sweat do more. Because I found his season, while it was okay, I thought it was a little underwhelming, especially given the new contract. Vince, give me a famous transition.
How about the Browns going to Baltimore in the middle of the night?
Well, so he chose the wrong team. He put it the wrong way. Oh, hold on. Well, no, he's crossing stories. So he said Browns, which they did go to Baltimore, but the middle of the night one was when Baltimore left for Indianapolis.
And he could use either one of the two.
Yeah, but it wasn't middle. See, Jody, we like the presentation. It's got to be crisp. If you're going to give me the middle of the night, the Mayflower, right, the truck in 1984, which is what that guy was alluding to, you got to give me the right transition.
Okay.
That was Baltimore to Indy.
So when somebody's running the ball, if he fumbles it, you don't pick it up and run with him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a fumble.
No, it's a fumble. Okay. It's over. Okay. You know?
All right.
You know,
you're a harsh judge, but if those are the rules, good by you. Yes. Stick by the rules.
We got standards around here. Let's go to Dominic. What's up, Dominic?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
We're good.
One thing for the Eagles. It's going to be hard for you guys to win with your one-dimensional quarterback. Hopefully the offensive line can hold up, because you do have one of the great offensive lines in the league.
Yeah,
and that's
good.
A compliment coming from a Giants fan.
Listen, man, Giants, I got to tell you, Dominic, it's stunning how bad your organization's become. Do you have any faith that they're going to climb out of this? Because other than that one year, I think it was 2017 when you guys made the playoffs and lost, and Odell dropped those two passes in the playoff game, you guys have done nothing in – like 8-9 years. It's stunning.
It's ridiculous. The only faith I have is the new GM and the positions that we have with head coach. And hopefully Daniel Jones can finally get an opportunity.
Yeah.
To stand in the pocket and throw the ball with Evan Neal now and, you know, the additions to the offensive line.
Yep. All right. What do you got for a famous transition, Dominic?
Famous transition, number one winner, Mike Vick transitioning from prison to almost an MVP year with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, it's a transition of sorts. I mean, it is what it is. Out of prison, and but it wasn't 1 year. It was the second year. If you remember the first year, he was a backup to Donovan. 215-592-9494.
Quick Harper point before we go to break.
Yes.
And he was on NBC Sports Philly doing broadcast work last week.
Yes.
Then the Apple game the night after. Nobody ever asked him, how's the elbow? Because we all just think, oh, Bryce has got the thumb's going to be good. He's going to be a boom, right back in the right field. He only played the first week of the season in the field and DH'd for months before he got hit by the pitch. Is he just going to be the DH? What's that going to do, Derek Hall, who's been a nice contributor to this team? He just becomes a pinch hitter?
It's a huge difference if he can play the field or not. Jody, because if he plays the field, you can improve the defense so much. So much.
You already have with Marsh. Now you got Marsh, and yep. You're down to just one outfielder that isn't average.
Jody Mack in for John today. Jody Kammer as well from training camp. Coming up, in addition to all the calls, we'll also discuss an athlete, in my opinion, just totally in absurd territory right now. Eager for power and influence, but oblivious to his own culpability in a mess. Plus, a philosophical question for Jody about this athlete. I want to run by him. We'll get to that and more up ahead from training camp. Jody Kammer, Jody Mack on WIP. All right, Jody Kammer, Jody Mack from training camp today, 94 WIP. We'll talk to Elliot Shore Parks at 12:30. We obviously watched practice. He watched it as well. He watched it a little bit more intently than we did because part of practice was going on while we were on the air, so there's only so much you can sort of consume while doing a show live. But we'll get Elliot's Eagle Eye view coming up at 12:30 today. 215-592-9494. All right, Jody, something happened in sports yesterday that I just positively loved. It really made me really happy.
Okay.
And I'm curious your reaction to this saga that was just being released through social media leaks yesterday by prominent reporters. So give me the name of the Nets owner. How do I say this name? Joe what?
Tsai.
Joe Tsai. All right. So Shams tweets yesterday at a certain point. In a meeting with Nets owner Joe Tsai, Kevin Durant reiterated his trade request and informed Tsai that Tsai needs to choose between Durant or the pairing of general manager Sean Marks and coach Steve Nash, sources say. So Durant lays down the ultimatum. They leak it to Shams, and they go out there to the world to say, let's try to make a power grab. I'm Kevin Durant. Everyone get out of my way. And not long after that, you get the report that the Shy guy comes right out on social media himself and says, yeah, I'm standing by with my coach and my general manager. These are my guys.
Well, he did, but then he also said, we will do what's best for the Brooklyn Nets.
Best interest of the Nets organization, right. I think, was his way of saying, I no longer will kowtow to the players who are trying to run my organization.
I don't know.
You don't see it that way?
Could it be? Yeah, I'm not going to say, no, that's you're wrong. You're saying the exact opposite. No, I think he did just enough to leave it open-ended and could decide
I mean,
to go
you
one
can
way
make that
other.
Case, but here's a specific tweet from the owner. Our front office and coaching staff have my support. We will make decisions in the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets.
They have his support until they don't have his support.
Look, Jody, I love it. Let me ask you this question, because this is the ethical's not the word. I'll just say philosophical issue that I'm running into, and I think a lot of NBA fans are running into with all the player movement and all this. And it's what I'm to do when I can't stand an athlete, and I'm to the point now with Durant. I mean, Durant has caused so many problems in Brooklyn. I mean, you just go down the litany of decisions from trading Jared Allen to backing Kyrie Irving to getting rid of Kenny Atkinson. I don't want to go down to the whole Brooklyn Nets thing, but I think most people know it's been a complete debacle, and Kevin Durant has had a big part in that. What am I to do, Jody, when I can't stand an athlete? I mean, I really dislike a lot of aspects of what he brings to the table and how he conducts his business, and how he doesn't take ownership of the fact a lot of this is his fault. But I know he could help a team I love win if he's traded to Philly. What am I to do? Am I to root for the athlete to get traded to Philly or not? Because I'm not a fan of the dude.
Right. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You're going to do what you
want.
How
do you handle that, though, Jody?
Could I root for Kevin Durant if he became a 76er? Yes. I would put the things that I think that he's done wrong and he has moved to the top of the diva list in the NBA in a Sixer uniform. Yeah, I'd hold my nose and I'd be okay with it. And the funny thing is, you're right, with these last two demands of a trade. First, he just wanted out. Now, oh, I'll stay if you fire both the general manager and the coach. You don't get any more diva than that. And, oh, by the way, Steve Nash was his choice.
I know.
When they ran Atkinson off, which I thought was a pretty damn good coach. I didn't think he needed to be gone. They bring in Steve Nash, who'd never coached before, had been an assistant, been an advisor. They knew each other from Golden State. Don't kid yourself. The main reason Steve Nash became the coach was because of Kevin Durant. At the end of the year, when they get swept by Boston, he comes out and says, you know, it was a tough year for Steve. All the stuff that he had to deal with, you can't really look at him. And then several months later, now it's all Steve Nash's fault.
Yeah.
You're going to run him off. So, yes, he has moved to the top of the diva list. But I can't believe that anyone is even in the same conversation, and you're suggesting he's past them, that he's worse than Kyrie.
No, he's not worse than Kyrie, but he's amongst a group. Harden's one of them. I mean, I was very clear when the Sixers got James Harden that he is one of my least favorite players in sports.
He's a diva. He's got a lot of diva in him.
I just want to throw that sort of concept out to everyone at 215-592-9494. When you have these guys that, you know, they just make decisions and really just don't take, I would say, this is my impression, personal responsibility for their own culpability when things go sideways. And then they just want to team hop. Am I to just say, are you to just say, yeah, come to my team? Because I do appreciate when someone really wants to play for the team, because they want to play for the team, not because they want to team up with someone to go title chase and abdicate responsibility from where they were. I just don't respect it, Jody.
Do you need some good news, Joe DeCamera?
Sure. Give me good news.
The Sixers' chance of getting Kevin Durant, despite the fact that he was at a concert with James Harden last night in London, met with the net owner in London, and then went to a concert with James Harden,
right,
the chances of him actually coming here, less than 1%.
It's close
to zero, but it's less than 1% because they just don't have the package to give up.
Yeah.
It's got to be somebody who's making money, which means it's got to be Tobias Harris, and Tobias Harris and Maxey. I think the Nets want a given star player in return, and if they've already had conversations with Boston, and Jalen Brown has been in the conversation, yeah, Boston's got a better package in the sector, so you're not going to have to
play. I hear you.
He's not coming.
No, you're right. I'll throw it out to everyone, 215-592-9494. Those types of scenarios, when you're not a fan of an athlete, when he's on one team or a series of teams, but you know your squad has at least a shot to get him, how do you factor that in your own mind? Let's go to the phone. Let's go to Adam right now in Delaware. What's up, Adam?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Just calling. I was reading on ESPN today that the Bears want to trade Roquan Smith. I know Howie's done a lot, but he sort of spoiled us.
Well, yeah.
More linebackers. The Eagles haven't done a good enough job upgrading the linebackers this year. Now you got to go out and get another one?
Seems unlikely, Adam.
Well, I understand it's unlikely. I know we got N'Kobe Dean. But, I mean, this guy's a top five linebacker in the league as far as I'm concerned. We have two first-round picks. You know, the Bears aren't going anywhere. You know, I mean, they need to start young probably again.
You need that safety net of those two first-round picks.
Yeah,
Joe DeCamera doesn't believe in Jalen Hurts, so you're going to need another quarterback somewhere down the line, and that may be 9 months down the line come draft day. No, they are not. There is no chance.
Yeah, but Joey, the
less
way
than
I look
Kevin
at...
Durant becoming a Sixer, a chance the Eagles are going to trade first-round picks for a linebacker.
But they have two, and I'm thinking with Alvin Kamara being suspended most likely, that Saints pick's going to be a top-10 pick. We can get a quarterback within the top 10.
Yeah, but remember this, man. Even if you have the ninth pick, you want those guys that go in the top three. I mean, if they're really supposed to be excellent, I know you can have your Mahomes around 10, 11, 12, whatever he was. I get it. But you do want to walk away with someone that's
higher.
Well,
but we're playing a 3-4 defense, are we not?
Well, they're going to shift back and forth. But, yeah, their base is a 3-4.
So the base is two, which means you need two middle linebackers. I don't really believe in T.J. Edwards.
But they're not going to be in 3-4.
T.J. Edwards is a pretty good player.
Yeah, but Adam, he is a pretty good player, and they're really not going to be in base that often because look how much the other teams are going to have three wide receivers out there, which means fundamentally the Eagles are going to be down to probably two linebackers.
I love Roquan from the day he came out.
Adam, give me a great answer here, a famous transition. What do you have?
Well, Ronald Reagan. Went from actor with a monkey, governor of California, to leader of the free world.
All right, Reagan. So he goes from actor to prez. I mean, he sure did. Let's go to Jimmy right now in Mount Holly. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I'll take Kevin Durant 2 days before yesterday. I don't care about divas. I don't care about team hopping. He's the best player on planet Earth right now in the NBA. Give me him all day, all night, and midday, too.
Well, I think he's third in the NBA, but he's up there one way or the other. But I just, not a fan of the guy, man.
I don't think the Sixers have what it takes.
No, well, they don't. They don't. All right, Jimmy, go ahead, man. What do you got on the Phils?
Yeah, and then I want to quickly touch on the Eagles super quick. I mean, I disagree with Jody. I usually don't. Like, I start Zach Wheeler. If I win, I'm going for the kill in game two. And I am certainly not thinking about who my game one starter is in the next series with a one-game-to-none lead in the first series.
Jody, you don't like
it? I'm not surprised. That doesn't surprise me in the least. Sometimes you just have to take it to another level, and I hope everyone catches up by the time the Phillies make the playoffs and play in the wild card round.
We shall see. Hey, Jimmy, give me a great answer for a famous transition.
Well, I kind of cut out, Joe. Can I talk about Hurts?
Jimmy, your phone's so bad, man. I'm trying to give you a chance to win a prize. Give me a transition.
Okay, the great Harry Callis transitioned into the equally great Scott Bransky. He's just as good. He's just different.
All right, you got it, Jimmy. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, Harry to Fransky. You know what's another transition, Jody? A lot of people probably don't know this. Harry as the Astros announcer to Harry as the Phillies announcer.
Came here from Houston.
And that was Bill Giles that had identified Harry Callis and said, that's the guy I want to have with the Phils.
A lot of people probably forget that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, 1971, I think, or 72. I think it was when the Vet opened. And I believe that was the year that they hired Harry Callis to come up here. And you know, but it would be – think about how strange it would be, Jody. And there's probably some 65-year-old, 70-year-old in Houston that taped something 55 years ago that would have audio of Harry Callis, you know, announcing an Astros game. You know, meaning as an Astros announcer. That is just – weird.
If that audio exists, I hope Todd has it.
He could.
Because somebody might have passed it along to him and say, oh, you might not remember. I remember your dad when he was here in town. I hope, if that's the case, if it exists, I hope Todd has it.
215-592-9494. Coming up, another issue from the world of the NBA yesterday related to Ben Simmons. I guarantee you this.
My God, Ben, you're kidding.
This is going to put a smile on everyone's face. What it is, you'll find out next. Show to Cameron, Jody Mack from Training Camp on 94 WIP.